Before we do, I want to ask a question. How many of us in this room have gotten the chance to play on some kind of an organized sports team? I would say it's many of us, it's most of us, if not all of us. Whether you've been involved in some kind of organized sports team, or even it could be some different kind of a group, right? Maybe you've been involved and you were all working to get better collectively for an end goal. Right now, obviously in sports, that's to win the games, right? You win the games, you get the record. Eventually, hopefully you get to go and get the trophy, right? And that's like the goal of all goals in sports, right? I had the privileges growing up. I got to play on several teams. I was involved in my high school soccer team. I got to play that, and that, I'll tell you, that was my favorite. Of the ones I did, I also played basketball. I did track and field. But all of those, I would choose soccer if I could only choose one. And there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, it's the one I was best at. And we tend to gravitate towards those things that we're good at. We just do. We tend to enjoy them a bit more. But number two, my dad was my coach. You can't beat that, right? I had a lot of great memories from it with that, with my dad. But what was spectacular about that? It always goes one of two ways, doesn't it? When the dad is coaching one of his kids, either his kid gets way more playing time than he should, or his dad pushes him way harder than the other kids so he can get more playing time than the other kids even, right? My dad, I'll tell you, he fell a bit into that second category. He would push me harder oftentimes than the other kids, and some of that was just because I lived with him. You know, I couldn't get away from hearing what he was going to tell me, and eventually it stuck just through brute repetition. But one thing that I loved about my dad as a coach is that he was willing to give that level of dedication to anybody who wanted it. If you were to ask him, man, he was there. He had the answer. He knew what to recommend for you, and he was ready to do so, to give to the members of the team. I remember it was clearly showcased one year in particular. We had just been knocked out of that tournament. At the end of the season, there's always the tournament to go for the trophy. It was like the first game. Boom, we're out. Not exactly an auspicious end to a season, and we're all kind of beating ourselves up. You know, we're, oh man, I can't believe, he you know, dribbled right around me. He was just so much faster than me. We're all doing this, and my dad comes up, and he goes, all right, team, do you want to do better next year? Right? Because obviously this season's over, so he's asking about next year. We're all like, well, yeah, of course, we want to do better next year. He's like, do you want to do better next year? Yes, coach. Right, that's the response. All right, here's what we're going to do. We have open gyms on Monday night. I want to see you out there. And if you're there, it's not a practice. I can't just tell you what you need to do. But if you ask me a question, I can give you an answer. Okay, it's a great way to kind of maybe skirt around some of the rules that they had in place, right? We can get some practice time in at open gyms, essentially, right? So if you're willing to come out, you're going to be there. He also said, when you have your captain's practices over summer, if you are willing to have them early, I can show up and I can help with those practices. I can make sure that everything's unlocked. You have the resources you need. I can give you drills. I'll give you advice even, whatever it is you guys are needing for this next season. Okay, coach, sounds like we have a plan. And everybody at the end of the season, you know, he's starting to kind of get us riled up again, get us excited, give us some momentum before we have to go and spend essentially 3 months not as a team. Well, people have a lot of momentum, and I remember just about everybody on the team, you know, they're saying, I'm going to be there. This sounds great. You know, I'm really excited about this. I would love all of that. But then came the time for those open gyms and those practices. And you might imagine, not everybody makes it out. You know, there's a decent number of us at the open gyms. That's still during the school year. You know, they just had to stay after school to get that extra time. But man, those captain's practices, they were at 7 a.m. during summer. As a high school student, you should not be awake before 7 a.m. during summer. I'm sorry, you just shouldn't. But we were out there. That was the time it was. My dad, he would wake me up some mornings. He'd have the ball of bags with him. It's got grass and everything on it. It's dirty. And he'd throw it on the bed on top of me to wake me up in the morning. I was there probably because of him. But man, I was always happy I came at the end of practice. And the guys who were there, they were happy too. But at the end of those practices, what my dad would do, he would give us individualized instructions. Right? He would go down the line, he'd say, all right, Tim, you were looking a little bit slow today. Could I ask, did you get enough sleep last night? No, coach, I was up playing Fortnite till 3 a.m. Okay, Tim, cut back on the video game so you can get a good night's sleep. Yes, coach, I'll work on it. Don't work on it, go to bed, right? Like, we go to the next guy. Preston, you were looking a little bit sluggish today, but I feel like you got enough sleep, right? He's like, yes, coach, I got enough sleep. All right, Preston, what have you been eating? Well, coach, I work at McDonald's, so I just kind of have lunch there. He's like, okay, well, try and find something better on the menu. Maybe cut the bun off of the meal, right? That helps a ton. All right, coach, I'll look into it, right? And he would go down. He would tell every single person what they needed to do, what they needed to work on, because he could see, he would assess, and he would help us out. Can I tell you, of that group, everybody would tell coach or my dad that they were going to do the work. Maybe it was a drill he wanted them to do. They would say, coach, I'm going to do that drill. I'll do it twice as much as you told me to do. Coach, I know that I've been working on cutting back. Coach, I've got a good sleep schedule. All these things. And they would say, you're going to be so impressed when the season comes around. Well, the season did come around. And can I tell you, some of those people were just flat out lying to my dad. And it was obvious. Man, at that season time, there was three categories. That first one, it was people, they listened to everything my dad had to say at the end of season. Man, they maybe even made it out to a couple open gyms just for fun. But they never took another step after that. The second group, they went to those practices in the summer, but when my dad told them what they needed to do to take it to the next level, to achieve the success that they wanted, man, they would start to spew out lies about that they've done it, that they're gonna do it, or man, they might even say, I don't think I really need to do that because at least I'm better than so-and-so. But that was never my father's intent. But there's a third group, and these are people, they would live out what my dad had for us. They would be at the practices, they would do the drills, they would follow through on everything. And they started the games, they played the entire thing, they didn't really hardly have to take a break. And I tell you that somewhat long story because in your Christian life, you fall into one of those three categories. You might be listening to what God has for you. You might even say, man, that's nice. It makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. But that's as far as it goes. You might be hearing what God has for you, but then on the next step, you might just be lying about what he's told you to do because it makes you uncomfortable. Or you can be living out what God has commanded you for. Look at our passage, James chapter number 1, verse 22. The Bible says this, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Dear Father, I thank you so much for this evening. I thank you for the time that you have blessed us with here on this earth, Lord, and here in your house this evening. God, I pray that you would be with me as I speak to these people. Lord, I pray that you would help me to say only what you would have me to say, Lord, but also that I would leave nothing out that somebody needs to hear. I pray that you would help us all open our hearts, be prepared to receive the word that you've given for us, Lord, and we give you the honor and glory for it. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want us to notice about this passage is in verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Well, that kind of implies that hearing the word is still pretty important. It would be very frustrating if I was to ask our base, Will, to do the thing. Will, are you prepared to do the thing? Are you ready? Can you do it? Why can't you do it? Right? I never told him what to do. So he has no idea what he's supposed to do. Now, how frustrating would it be for me if I had texted him, called him, handed him a note, had written it out on his toothpaste or something, right? Exactly what he needs to do. And then he doesn't know what to do. That would be very frustrating for me. So if God has given us his word, which tells us exactly what we need to do, man, we need to make sure that we are hearing what God has told us to do. And I find there are three times in our lives we can do that. And number one, these are what I would call convenient times, right? You knew that there was going to be a church service here tonight, and you all chose to show up. That's fantastic. That is genuinely what I would call a convenient time. If you're a young one here today and your parents brought you, man, that's even more convenient. You didn't have to worry about how to get here. You didn't have to worry about canceling other plans. It was built right into your day for you. That's a very convenient time, and I would challenge you, and I thank you all for being here this evening, but continue to find those convenient times. I know as life goes on, it becomes a lot harder for us to find convenient times for ourselves, but as parents, we often make them for our kids. And that's what we're called to do. Convenient times. The second thing I would find is available times. And this has a little bit of a crossover between, but these are times when maybe you don't necessarily have something planned. Maybe it's a time when you even have what we might call dead space. I often think of this. When I was growing up, I had a 45-minute bus ride to get into school. Okay? And I lived in the middle of nowhere, a little town called Random Lake, Wisconsin. Okay? It's a real place, I promise you. But on my way into school in Random Lake, I would get on the bus, I would sit down, and I would find the window, and I put my head on the window, and I would look outside. And that's what I did for 45 minutes every single day. Can I tell you what you see in Random Lake, Wisconsin when you look out the window? You see cows and you see cornfields, okay? That was what I looked at the entire time. And every single day, it was the same cows and the same cornfields. And I would do that, and I spent 45 minutes every single day. Can I tell you, if I would have spent 15 of those minutes reading the Bible, I could have made it through the entire Bible at least once, just on my way to school. I would have still had 30 minutes to say hi to Bessie, right? All of that time that I chose to waste, it was available to me. Maybe you have an available time that God's brought to your mind right now. It might be on a commute. We have the ability to have the Bible read to us pretty much any time of day now. We have the ability to make sure that we're listening to the right kind of music, to make sure that God is being reinforced in our hearts and in our minds and not torn down by other things. Can I challenge you, find the available times and take advantage of those. Because when it comes to this last one, this is the one that hurts. And these are what I would call costly times. These are times when, throughout the course of our lives getting busy, or throughout the course of maybe just the way that life plays out, God starts to knock, asking us to let go of something else. Because whatever it is, for me in high school, I'll tell you plainly, oftentimes it was sports. Oftentimes it was choosing to go and hang out with the wrong kinds of friends. Oftentimes it may have been getting involved in different musicals or productions like that. I would cling so tightly to that, that man, before I knew it, it's already 10:30, I should be going to bed. And I hadn't even thought about God's word. Maybe it's not even that you don't think about God's word. Maybe you do spend a fair bit of time with him. You might spend that time praying. You might spend that time having already given him a portion of your day, but God is there knocking. And he's saying, hey, there's something else that I would like for you to do. You need to hear what God has asked for us. Pay the cost, and I guarantee you, you will get more back than you ever did and what you are already hanging on to. Convenient, available, or costly. The second thing I notice about this passage, once we've heard what God's word is saying to us, once we've fully grasped that, we can't lie about what he told us. Right? That kind of would defeat the entire purpose. Look at this with me. Verse number 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. If nobody has ever fully explained this to you, I've got to tell you, this is one of the funniest illustrations in Scripture to me. This man looks at himself in a mirror. That's what the word glass means. He looks at himself, sees himself, and the moment he turns away, he's completely forgotten what he just saw. You can think about it this way. I wake up in the morning, right? Rubbing the sleep out of my eyes, I walk over to my mirror, and as I look in the mirror in the mornings, I'll tell you a little bit about what I see, all right? My hair usually is swooped up and facing the complete wrong way. I look like one of those parakeets, right? The white-haired birds that goes off to the side. That's me in the mornings, right? I see that. Okay, I gotta take care of my hair. I've probably got a little bit of drool on my face, right, in my beard from where I was sleeping. I might be wearing a sleep shirt. Now, I'll tell you, I've long since gotten rid of these, but it's wrinkled. It's stained. It's a white shirt. I wiped the Cheetos off on it the night before because I didn't want to get out of bed. It looks like a mess, and then I smell my breath on top of all that. Right? Did not brush my teeth last night. Need to do it this morning for sure, right? You see, all of this, could you imagine looking at yourself, seeing all these problems, and saying, man, I am a mess. Guess I'll go. And you go straight to work. You go straight to meet up with whoever it may be, whatever it is. You say, hey, guys, how's it going? They smell your breath. Whoa, right? Somebody did not brush their teeth this morning. And then they take a notice. They see what's going on with your hair. Man, you got to run into the bathroom, wash your face, take care of that. They see your shirt. What are you wearing? Could you imagine if the team saw me in that shirt? Mr. Ross, change. Put on a suit coat. Do something. Cover that up. We have to be in church. We need to be ready tonight. What in the world? Did you even look at yourself in a mirror this morning? Well, yeah, guys, I looked at myself in a mirror this morning. Okay, well, why didn't you do anything about it? I just forgot. Now, obviously, we wouldn't do that. If we were showed so clearly exactly what is wrong, we would not leave before we took care of it. And yet, there are times when we come into God's house, we hear a message, God convicts us, and we choose to walk out the doors without taking the steps that He's called us to. And that is exactly what we've just done with His Word. He showed us the problems. He let us know what we needed to do. I think I look fine. My breath isn't that bad, right? This sin, it's not that bad, God. I know I should be going soul winning, but I would just rather spend my time doing this. Man, I know You've called me to be involved in the church, Lord. I know You've called me to give my tithes, but is it really that important? Nobody's going to notice. It's just a small thing. We can't lie about what we've heard. If you turn with me briefly to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 15, I find that there are a few reasons why we choose to lie about the different things that God has shown us. 1 Samuel chapter number 15, I'm going to read very briefly here. This is Samuel speaking unto King Saul. King Saul has already made his first big mistake, and this is where we see him make his second. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Look down in verse number 9. Saul was given a very clear commandment for exactly what he needed to do, which was utter destruction, and yet, in verse 9, but Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. Look down at verse number 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Saul, in this moment, was given a very clear commandment from God. And there was no mistaking what he was told to do. And yet, what did he just say? I have performed the commandment of the Lord. If we continue reading, Samuel pointedly tells Saul, no, you have not. The sheep, they're bleeding in his ear. He sees the king that's been spared, and he asks him, why did you do all of this? When it goes down, verse number 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Is there something in your life right now that ought not to be there because of somebody else? And can I ask you, did they make you leave that in your life? Have they been the reason that you've been living in sin? And can you honestly look to God and say, God, it is not my fault that this is still here. Samuel, it's not my fault. The people, they saved the sheep. They saved the oxen to give sacrifice unto God. Samuel, that's not my problem. Saul, you're the king. The people listen to you. It shouldn't be the other way around. But instead, Saul lies to himself about it. He tries to lie to Samuel, somebody else, and on top of that, I performed the commandment of the Lord. He's even trying to lie to God. But in all of these things, Samuel knew the truth. The people knew that they were winning a little bit, exercising commandment over the king, and God is not mocked. He knew exactly what had happened, regardless of what Saul says. If you look back in our main passage for this evening, it says, deceiving your own selves. I think that that's a right thing, because really we are the only ones that are deceived when we lie about what God's told us to do. But I'm very grateful for this. We don't have to live there. We don't have to live that way, because verse number 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I want for all of us to say that we are living in the blessings that God has for us. His blessings, personally, I'll tell you this, I plainly believe that a large portion of the blessing of God is the peace that you can have. Knowing that there's nothing between you and your friends, knowing there's nothing between you and your friends or co-workers, your family, and knowing that, most importantly, there's nothing between you and the Lord. I lived a large portion of my life, honestly, not caring at all for God. It was roughly 8 years that I spent where I was actively trying to push aside what God had for me, and it wasn't until my senior year of high school that he finally got a hold of me, and I finally said, okay, God, I'll give you an honest chance. And through the coming years, as he chipped away and as he refined me, finally got to a point where I could honestly say, I'm not trying to lie to them and be something I'm not. My parents, they understand, they've forgiven me for the sins I committed, and God, thank you so much for forgiving me as well. And that night, man, that was the best night of sleep I've ever had in my entire life. Peace. So can I ask you, are you hearing what God has for you? And can I challenge you, once you've heard, whether it makes you uncomfortable, whether somebody may judge you, whether people may look at you a little bit differently, can I challenge you to go and take those steps? Live how God has called you to. Don't lie about what he's told you. And then live in the blessings that God has for us. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, I thank you so much for today and for this evening. And God, I thank you for the people of this church who have been here. I pray that you would help us now, Lord, to be hearing and listening for what it is you have for us. God, I pray that you would help us as we go forth to earnestly take in what it is that you've given us, hear your commandments, and help us to go and live out what it is that you call us to do. I pray all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right.
Why don't we have a song? Right now, we'll sing number 353. Would you turn there? It's called Search Me, O God, 353. If God's speaking to you, now's a good time to respond. Once you find it, would you stand with me and we'll sing that song? Number 353. And if God's leading as we sing, would you respond? We heard about how God wants to hear from you and live through you and your life. If there's a change that needs to be made, make it tonight. Number 353.